Gator Dave with us down in Jacksonville. We'll talk a little LSU and then move forward to the South Carolina game. Dave, what is your takeaway from the road trip to Baton Rouge?
The Gators ran into a buzzsaw, Bill, with that LSU offense. And, we knew that offense was good. You know, I did come on here last week and, you know, said that it was going to be the best on best, Florida's defense versus LSU's offense. And maybe neither one had played a really good opposite side of the ball opponent. And, you know, this is the game that was going to tell us a whole lot about either side of the ball. And, you know, the LSU offense definitely stepped up to the plate. Burrow, as many touchdowns as he had in completions. And, you know, probably somewhat surprising because, you know, this Florida defense and Todd Grantham and, you know, the reputation there. And, you know, Florida played a lot of soft zone coverage most of the night, and you really just looked like they didn't want to give up the big play in the passing game. And surprisingly, the big play came in the LSU run game, and Clyde Edwards-Helaire from the very beginning just put on a clinic of running the ball versus this Florida defense. And that's what this LSU offense does, Bill. When they spread you out, they get you thinking. Florida couldn't get lined up right at points. They weren't in position. Linebackers and safeties that really out of position, and you know, Burrow hitting that little slant over the linebackers in front of the safeties, and the safeties not making tackles in the run game as well. So, you know, a lot of questionable tactics, a lot of questionable strategy, you can say, of not playing tighter coverage and seeing how that comes out. You know, C.J. Henderson still not quite 100% out there with his ankle injury there. And, of course, you know, Jabari Zuniga and Jonathan Grenard not out there being able to pressure the quarterback and Burrow. Would that have made a big difference? Maybe not, but, you know, maybe there's a play or two there where they get back in the backfield, strip sack, fumble, and, you know, Florida get the turnover they so desperately needed. But you go to the other side of the ball, Bill, and I don't think you can be impressed enough with what Kyle Trask was able to do in that situation and what he's been able to do since he's come in for Felipe Franks. He's really put it together, really integral in the passing game with Dan Mullen and what he's able to do there and how he handled that atmosphere and how Dan Mullen worked Emory Jones in early on as well. You know, Florida pretty much hung tooth and nail with LSU. You know, it was a 14-point game, but in the end felt a little closer in that, at least from the Florida side, if you're looking at it. So all in all, a good performance there, but, you know, it's tough to go into Baton Rouge against, you know, just a pretty good LSU team in that scenario. You just ran into an elite LSU team and hung pretty well.
I think offensively they're better, and I never thought I would say this. They're better with Trask opposed to Felipe Franks.
I'll admit it too, Bill. I didn't think that would be – I wouldn't say possible, but I didn't think it would happen. Of course, you know, we go back and – it was a quarterback battle last year going into Dan Mullen's first year. Felipe Franks wins that. Of course, the way he ended last year, he was going to be the starter this year. And you know, who knows what happens in practice. I know the spring practices and the first couple of fall practices I went to, it was clear Felipe Franks looked better. But maybe there's just something there when you start calling game plays in a game situation and in the right frame of mind for Kyle Trask in a game situation as well, to where, you know, he just owned in game situations. And I know a lot of coaches put into what they see in practice and in determining a starter. And that's not to say, you know, Felipe Franks and what he was doing was awful or wasn't getting the job done. But the offense does look, you know, if you just want to say the word fun, it looks more fun with Kyle Trask. It looks a little more open with Kyle Trask. It looks a little more trustworthy with Kyle Trask out there at the quarterback position.
That day earlier, Georgia had lost to South Carolina. What were Gator fans saying about that, and what opportunity did they think they had by knowing this?
Yeah, I mean, of course, surprising. I won't say we saw this coming from Georgia. I mean, no way we saw a loss. But there were inclinations that they still weren't as good on offense as we thought they'd be. The offensive line, you know, didn't necessarily hold up as we thought they would versus Notre Dame. They struggled early versus Tennessee. There still didn't see this coming, especially Jake Fromm's performance as well and his three interceptions. And, of course, the last one not really on him so much, but still that performance there. Of the turnovers and keeping South Carolina in it. But, you know, what South Carolina's defensive line was able to do, especially in the second half and keeping that Georgia run game mostly at bay, was really surprising given the reputation of this Georgia offensive line. But, I mean, it was – we as of, you know, for Florida, we looked at it last week as by beating Auburn, you were going into this LSU game with house money anyway. The game was going to always come down to the season was going to come down to whatever happens in Jacksonville. But then with Georgia's loss, I mean, it really could have flipped the SEC pretty upside down if Florida would have walked out of Baton Rouge with a win. I think that's where the mindset started going was, look, Jacksonville's still important. You still got to go win in Jacksonville. But for the time being, if you could go on a day Georgia loses and go beat a top five LSU team, then everything we thought preseason about the SEC and the way it was going to play out and the SEC East and Georgia being a well of a step ahead above Florida, not may be true now, but it doesn't look, it does look a lot closer than what we thought coming into the season. But if Florida would have walked, after that game versus South Carolina, the narrative started going, hey, if Florida can win this game in Baton Rouge, then you're really looking at, maybe Florida is the team to beat in the East and not Georgia.
Gator Dave with us. The podcast is Gators Breakdown. We will let you know how you can get that podcast in case you have not heard it yet. It is very good. Dave, what is the outlook going to Williams-Brice and taking on Coach Boom after a big win over Georgia?
Bill, I really want to know where the mindset is for both teams. Yeah. Honestly, Florida's coming in off of two big-time games versus Auburn and LSU. You get your first loss of the season. You're beat up on defense. And C.J. Henderson, as I've mentioned, still not 100%. I really doubt Grenard and Zuniga play right now, as you need those guys to rest and be ready for Jacksonville. And that may be a little easier with Ryan Helinski. I don't see how he plays versus Florida right now, but maybe he kind of makes a – he could barely walk after that Georgia game there. So you kind of have to look at South Carolina on their third-string quarterback, who's not necessarily a threat to throw the ball. So Florida's kind of got to rally the troops on defense there. But as far as offense, you kind of just keep doing what you're doing. But, this pass rush and this defensive line with Ken Law and Wanham for South Carolina, they're going to pose a problem for this Florida offensive line. So this is another game where I think Florida does need to get the running game going to help Kyle Trask out. But with just the way he's playing, and the Florida can give Trask enough time, even with the injuries on defense, and I think facing basically a third-string quarterback there, I think you can feel pretty good about limiting what South Carolina could do on offense and getting enough points. Because at this point where Florida's at in the injury situation, right now you just have to go find a way to win this game. You can't get upset in this game because you've got to make that game to Jacksonville where, it's pretty much a not to forget about Missouri, but pretty much kind of take, the game in Jacksonville or kind of a winner-take-all out of those two teams, and then those two teams have to worry about Missouri later on.
Here was something we talked a little bit about last hour. Think about Will Muschamp. He's a Georgia player. That's his school. And he's had to play against them at certainly Florida, now South Carolina. Just won a very emotional game at Georgia, game that nobody, including me, gave them a chance to win. Now he has to play Florida, a place where he coached. That's personal, too, with him. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, he's got some two big wins over Georgia. I remember going back to the year he was fired in 2014, Florida didn't have a chance in Jacksonville, and Florida just runs up and down the field. I think Keon Harris completes six passes or attempts six passes there, and Florida's just able to run like crazy over Georgia and Jacksonville, and kind of reminiscent of this win. It was a better Georgia team this year, of course, there, but still, kind of along the same lines of a game versus Georgia where he didn't necessarily – nobody gave him a chance to win. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of personal I'm sure, Florida and Georgia back-to-back, he'd love to get that. I mean, and for – all the stuff that happened while he was at Florida, he still was never questioned about, how much he cared and how much his players cared. Because, I mean, that was exemplified in his first game as South Carolina head coach and being able to look at the Florida players after the game and a long line of handshakes and from personnel staff and of players that played under him when I believe they beat Florida that year, his first year at South Carolina. So, yeah, I mean, there's but for Boom, I mean, go back to the first game of the season versus North Carolina and loses that game, kind of gets that game back now by beating Georgia. And for all the talk of, having this very tough schedule and how do you manage it, I mean, and go out here and somehow get two back-to-back wins versus Georgia and Florida, and people start looking at Will Muschamp in a different light.
Gator Dave with us, Gators Breakdown. Hey, did you see the clip? And it was Urban Meyer, and he was talking about the Florida-Georgia games that he was involved in. But 07, Gator Dave, now check off with me on this. 07 was the year that Georgia won, and Mark Richt, who was always criticized for not being energized enough and not being a hellraiser and all that, had his team after that first score, including the entire bench, run to the end zone and celebrate. We all remember that, correct?
Correct.
Well, the next year, and Georgia won that game, the next year, Florida, which would have been what, 08,
yep,
wins, and they've got the game in hand. And Urban Meyer, at the end of the game, calls two timeouts that are totally unnecessary so everybody can relish the score on the scoreboard as payback. And in this clip, he admits that's why he did it. Have you seen that clip?
I haven't seen that clip, but I did know that story. I did know those two timeouts were payback. It was. You're gonna make a mockery of our team last year, and by running on the field, and you know when in 08. I mean, look, you go back to that season, Bill, and you know Georgia was coming off with the Sugar Bowl win over Hawaii as well. They were preseason number one going into that 2008 season with Marino and Stafford, and everybody thought they were the team to beat in the East, and it ended up being Florida winning the national championship in 2008, and in that 2008 year coming off of that 2007, and everybody remembering the Georgia team running off the bench. I mean, that game had some heat to it. That 2008 Florida-Georgia game was, I mean, it was nasty there. And, you know, honestly, with the way Urban and kind of knowing how he acts, it's not really a surprise that happened. I think the players were even in on it, too. They wanted to celebrate. I remember Tebow celebrating like crazy during those two timeouts. So, yeah, I knew the story. I hadn't seen the clip. I'll have to go look for it. But, yeah, that was a memory for Gator fans, the Gator Nation that doesn't forget.
Well, we all knew that was payback, but we never got official inside confirmation on it, you know?
Yeah, right.
Amazing. Hey, tell everybody about Gators Breakdown.
Everybody can get Gators Breakdown at news4jax.com/GatorsBreakdown. Catch the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube as well. And a lot of, you know, looking back at the LSU game this week and looking ahead to South Carolina as well later on in the week.
Good stuff, Dave. We'll see you next week, man.
Thanks, Bill.